Psalm 148, verses 1 to 14, praising God for his comprehensive security. In the setting of the ancient Near East with its idolatry, where pagan man was dreadfully insecure, the manifold ways God provided security for his people Israel deserve their praise. This is the theme of Psalm 148, and we view it for our insight and our edification. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we're grateful this morning for the opportunity that we have of exposing our minds and hearts to the Word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit who authored Scripture behind the writers, who also equips us to have the discernment to understand it, and then the power to apply it. We ask for wisdom for all of those functions this morning, that we might be people who are doers of the Word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read the King's English, or the King James Version of Psalm 148, and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise ye the Lord from the earth, ye sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all the people, princes and all the judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, his glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, the people near to him. Praise ye the Lord. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we're staying with the numbering system, obviously. And we translate the psalm as follows. Praise Yah. And then you supply the word way. Actually, in Hebrew, it's hallelujah. Technically, it should be hallelujah Yahweh, but it's hallelujah is what the shortened form was. Praise Yahweh from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. The heaven of heavens is what is known in the Jewish theology as the third heaven, 2 Corinthians 12:2. That's the heaven where God dwells. There were three heavens in Jewish theology. The first heaven is the sky where you see the birds fly. That's the atmosphere. The second heaven is where the sun, the moon, and the stars are. That's out beyond where the birds fly. And then the third heaven is the unseen heaven. That's the heaven where God dwells. So when Paul says he ascended up to the third heaven, he meant the presence of God. Well, here, the heavens of heavens. That's God's presence. And you waters that be above the heavens. That's the second heaven. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Then he starts talking about earth. Verse 7, praise Yahweh from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. These would be cedars of Lebanon, great big trees. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, because his name alone is inaccessibly high, we would say exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And then notice how he applies it to Israel. He has also raised up a horn, and the horn is a symbol of power. of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, the people near to him. In other words, God has made Israel to be a powerful nation, a strong nation, not a weak one. And then he ends, praise Yah, and you supply work, way again. In other words, he ends it with hallelujah. So, we note significant observations regarding this psalm as follows. This psalm takes on a dramatic significance against the setting of pagan beliefs of the Gentile nations that surrounded ancient Israel. For Israel's neighbors believed that a huge struggle between a chaos monster and a hero god had led to creation when the hero god gained victory over the chaos monster. In fact, you have a number of ancient Near Eastern cosmogonies. Cosmogonies are accounts of how origins began. India, Akkadia, Babylonian, Egyptian, and so forth, they all have this motif or this storyline where you've got a sea monster who has the fluids of the oceans in the sea monster's body, and a hero god comes along and he slays the sea monster, and out of the body of the sea monster comes the seas, and then life just springs up from that. It's the ideology of evolution. It goes way, way, way back to paganism. So Israel's pagan neighbors believed this good state was unstable, that it could be reversed with catastrophic results. So every year, or annually, ritually, they reenacted the creation using magic to preserve the current creative order that in man not be destroyed. I personally believe that this whole belief, this pagan belief, probably came from a reaction to the flood. The flood, as you know, was disastrous. It opened up the fountains of the deep. There were huge cataclysmic changes, volcanic activity, and so forth. And when people came all off of the ark, if they departed from God, they still remembered that flood, and it was apparently a devastating experience to hear on the outside of the ark the tremendous amount of noise that there must have been with mountains and the earth's crust breaking up and steams of water and volcanic activity and people crying out and animals and so forth. It was a chaotic mess. And apparently, as the descendants of Noah left the Lord, the fear of that flood came up, so they kept trying to enact this ritual every year to keep the creation in order. Well, in great contrast to the pagan world's insecurity, Israel's God had sovereignly and peacefully called the entire universe into existence so that there was no hostile force threatening to undo it. And that good God had given the universe to man as a gift of peace and blessing in his grace. What's more, and I didn't put this in here, is after the flood, in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, God promised that he would never again destroy the earth with a cataclysmic flood. We know he's going to destroy the earth with heat. The earth is going to melt with fervent heat. In fact, the entire universe is going to pass away. But that event will occur, according to Revelation 20, only after God has resurrected even the unsaved dead, pulled them away from the world, and set them in front of him to judge them. So then the heavens and earth pass away. So no human being is going to be here. You know, they talk about global warming and catastrophe and so forth. No human being, even the unsaved, will be here when that happens. And it's going to happen very quickly and very suddenly. The entire universe is going to pass away with fervent heat. But so don't worry about it. The psalmist thus called in the heavens and all of them to praise the Lord, verses 1 to 6, and on the earth and all of it to praise the Lord, in verse 7:14, that heaven and earth, the universe, might praise the Lord for his great blessings, especially for his security of the creative order. It's interesting that in verse 6, he has established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass. Notice the security. It's very different from the pagan world. Accordingly, the psalmist called on the creation itself to praise the Creator God for the comprehensive security that he provided. He alone is sovereign God, so we have spiritual security over threats from evil spirits and false gods. God's creative order is firmly fixed by divine decree, creating livelihood security in man's experience, and God has blessed his people with additional national security relative to threats from Israel's enemies. Opposite pagan man's dreadful insecurity, the people of Israel were to rejoice in great and comprehensive securities they enjoyed in their almighty creator God and praise him for them. It's interesting, I was sharing with my wife yesterday what the content of this psalm was. And she turned to me and she said, well, don't you think that this whole issue about global warming is just the opposite of this? Global warming, in fact, she's noticed in the paper, you'll have letters that'll come up. Man, the world is real close to global warming. I think Alexandria Cortez, you know, that lady who's been elected, she's claimed, she's a representative, she's claimed that if we don't arrest global warming, the earth is going to be destroyed in 10 years. Now, this is an elected official, of course, and of course, everybody makes fun of her and everything, but there are people that believe this stuff. And it's sad, and I see letters, I get the Republican American every now and then, and I see letters of people warning, concerned about global warming and so forth. And the whole thing is just, it's not true. And we're returning. In fact, my wife is correct. She said, aren't we returning to a pagan mindset? I said, that's very, very true. We've got people that are scared and they're living in constant fear and it's pointless. Psalm like this really puts it in order. So we need to praise the Lord for the spiritual security over threats from evil spirits and false gods. Livelihood security in our experience. God has promised. In fact, David said, I have been old and young and old, and I have yet to see the children of the righteous begging for bread. Wonderful truth. And God has blessed his people with additional national security. Even our national security, even as a nation, is something that is utterly dependent upon the Lord. If it weren't for the Lord, in fact, the Bible says in one of the Psalms, the watchman watcheth in vain if the Lord does not keep the house, and that's the city. So, opposite pagan man's dreadful insecurity, the people of Israel were to rejoice in the great and comprehensive securities they enjoyed in their almighty creator God and praise him for them. The lesson is that all creation, securely established in God's infinite goodness and sovereignty as creator God, owed God praise for the comprehensive security of the creative order thus established by the Lord. So application, may we praise God for the security he provides, not only in the creative order, but in all of our lives. This is a characteristic, incidentally, that should mark the people of God, unique from the world. The world doesn't live in a sense of praise, except when it's maybe praising a specific athlete at a particular event where he does something great. But the world often knows sadness, it often knows criticism, it often knows negativism, defeatism, depression. But the people of God are to praise him. It's very fitting for the people of God to praise God, and he deserves it. Just look around at the things that he's done for us, the blessings. He protects us from evil. In many cases, he protects us in the spiritual realm. He protects us in regards to our livelihood. He protects us with our health. How many times has the Lord helped us in regards to issues of health? He's kept us safe. I mean, this morning, any one of us could have slipped and fallen. It was a sheet of ice just outside my house. The driveway and the walkway were icy. And thankfully the road wasn't, but I have a driveway that's on a slant and it curves, goes up, and so I had to salt it just to get out of the way. But the Lord kept us. I mean, there have been times when I slipped and banged my head on it and had a mild concussion. But the Lord provides and he protects us. And then he's protected us in the nation in which we live. And so we owe the Lord great, great praise. He protects us even from our mistakes. I submitted my tax to the state of Connecticut. I've already done that. And I've got feedback from them. I had made a mistake. So instead of getting $41 back, I'm getting $101 back. So that's the type of mistake I love, you know. I hope they do the same with my federal income tax too. But anyway, God protects us. And I had used the wrong decimal point in multiplying something out. You know, I didn't read the chart properly, whatnot. But the people checked it out and found it. And So they're getting the money back. So we owe the Lord praise. And we owe the Lord praise for the many blessings that he's provided for us. And I just want to leave that with you. So I know that the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that a significant amount of our time in eternity will be spent on praising the Lord. Let me get this. Ephesians chapter 2. Here it is. Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7. He has raised us up together, that's with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, that's in eternity to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, that's his unmerited favor, in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God is going to be exposing to us in eternity to come the extreme riches of his unmerited favor. He's probably going to be relaying to us all the events of history that has occurred and how he was up to his elbows involved in, by his grace, providing for us blessings. And then he's going to deal with our personal lives and the things that he's done. He's probably going to relate to us there were times when there were cancer cells in a certain situation that could have ended our lives prematurely. And by his grace, he led us to eat a certain type of food that had a certain type of compound that would address that particular issue so that we could live a longer life. Things about which we knew nothing. Who knows? But we're going to see that. So we're going to be praising him. And we're going to praise him for the glory of his grace throughout eternity. So this is an opportunity to praise the Lord. Okay, we'll open it up for feedback, questions, questions.